from defense industrial investment to taking over some air defense in Western Ukraine, just even making security guarantees to Ukraine based on certain territories that would wake up the Kremlin. But right now, Putin does not seem to fear Europe.
And he knows that even when Trump makes these ludicrous pronouncements on social media, he also can't resist having a swing at Zelensky as well, which is, you know, once again, the narrative of it's Ukraine's fault they got invaded, almost.
I think we've been talking about this for a while, James.
We have.
The number one goal of Trump and Putin is to get rid of Zelensky.
Yes.
Yeah, Trump has been trying to get rid of Zelensky for since he became president again. That's been one of his number one goals. He hates Zelensky. This goes back to the Hunter Biden laptop and all that nonsense. So Trump actually likes Putin or is scared of Putin and wants to appeal to Putin, but he loathes Zelensky and he wants to get rid of Zelensky. And that comes out more and more in all of these tweets.
Do we know why?
Well, with Zelensky, I think it has to do with the fact of the Hunter Biden laptop. And
He refused to be coerced into helping Trump.
Yeah, that, and also Putin doesn't like him. The fact that Putin doesn't like Zelensky seems to really matter to Trump as well. So it's a combination of Zelensky and Trump's mind didn't do the dirty on Biden, and that Putin wants to get rid of him.
You got one fan at least. Roddy's been in touch to say, amazing in-depth analysis from Phillips as always. Thank you. I will add my voice to that gratitude, Phillips, if I may.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, Phillips O'Brien, Professor of Strategic Studies at the University of St. Andrews, and a very, very helpful guide as these issues become I'm more complicated, but also more important. It's 12:01.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, Sir Keir Starmer says scenes of joy turned to utter horror at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade. Four children were among 27 people taken to hospital after a car ploughed into crowds yesterday evening. A local man is being questioned by police. Liverpool Riverside MP Kim Johnson has urged people to avoid speculating about the circumstances.
We need to leave the police to undertake their inquiries. It happened 6 o'clock last night. We know that a white male, 53, from Liverpool, was arrested at the scene. And, you know, for people not to speculate on this and allow the police to undertake their inquiries.
A 28-year-old's been charged with the attempted murder of a police officer in Buckinghamshire. PC Christopher Mills was seriously hurt in a car crash in Stoke Poges last Thursday. Simranjit Kaila from Slough is due to appear in court accused of attempted murder and various driving offences. Nigel Farage has claimed that Reform is now the party of working people. The party leaders delivered a speech in Westminster attacking both Labour and the Tories, who he described as finished. He also confirmed that Reform would back lifting the two-child benefit cap.
Not because we support a benefits culture, but because we believe for lower paid workers, this actually makes having children just a little bit easier for them. It's not a silver bullet. It doesn't solve all of those problems, but it helps them.
The Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, says scrapping the two-child cap is under consideration. The government's facing growing pressure to get rid of the limit introduced by the Conservatives in 2017. A decision is expected later in the year. Transport for London has announced proposals to increase the congestion charge from £15 to £18 a day from next January. It also wants to scrap the residents' discount for petrol and diesel vehicles. The body's opened a public consultation to seek Londoners' views between now and August. The International Monetary Fund has upgraded its forecast for growth in the UK economy this year. It says an economic recovery is underway, with GDP set to increase by 1.2% in 2025. But the latest IMF figures suggest the impact of Donald Trump's tariffs will weigh on growth next year. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading at 88.04. That is up 86. The pound buys $1.35 and a euro 19. LBC weather, cloud and rain across England and Wales this afternoon. Sunny spells and showers in Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
So, close your eyes, picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wix to design our new kitchen.
At Wix, we have 70 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000 to over £20,000. And with our Spend and Save offer, there's up to 50% off kitchen units. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wix. Terms and minimum spend apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Minutes after 12 is the time. I think a complete change of pace now, a complete change of pace, a change of content. This is something I've been thinking about for ages, since lockdown, actually. And I can tell you exactly why. I wanted, during lockdown, I presumed, when I began to finally get my head around what it was likely to mean, I thought I was going to read all of the books that I'd never read. You know, like all of the big novels that you'd never quite had the time or the space. Because what else were you going to do? Do you remember? You weren't even allowed out of your house except for a little walk in a prescribed area. So I presumed, once I'd got my head around what lockdown was likely to represent, I was going to get myself to have a proper crack at Ulysses. I'm probably going to read to the end of War and Peace. What else was on my list of books I've never read? I kind of, there's a couple of authors. I always felt that I hadn't properly done the Russians. So I was going to work my way through the Russians and read all of that. And then I can't remember when I noticed I wasn't even reading the stuff that I read before lockdown. I wasn't even reading as much crime fiction as I expected to. So once the heady ambitions of Dostoevsky and James Joyce had been dashed, once I realised I wasn't going to be picking up the books that take up more book space, more bookshelf space than any others, I presumed I'd just really go to town on the books that I read all the time, like my favourite crime fiction writers, particularly historical crime fiction writers. I'm an absolute sucker for really good whodunits that are set in the Tudor era or set during the Restoration or set. I love all that because you sort of feel it's a bit more nourishing than a crime fiction, than a whodunit that's set in modernity, because you're learning. So I know a little bit about George Downing, for example, after whom Downing Street is named. And I know a little bit more about Charles II and the background to the slave trade, actually, and just a lot of stuff that gets smuggled in. I think the king of the genre for me, historically, was probably I forget his name now. C.J. Sansom, who wrote the Shardlake novels that have been brilliantly... He's no longer with us, actually. But he wrote the Shardlake novels that have been brilliantly captured on film on Sky. But there's loads more, which I absolutely love. And I learnt a lot from them. I still do. And I'm probably reading a little bit more now of these than I was on lockdown. Some of it has come back. But my mojo has gone. My attention span, I am sure, has diminished. This job is the saving of me, because I can't get distracted when I'm doing this job, except on the rare occasions when I am distracted. But that's usually by someone walking past or Keith behaving strangely in the production office. This job, I've got no idea whether I have low-level ADHD or something like that, but I do know that I find it almost impossible. When I write a book, oh, my days. I can lie in bed on Sunday morning knowing that if I don't write 2,000 words today, I'm going to have to give the advance back. I can be fully conscious of that in my brain. I've got it, and I've spent the advance, sometimes twice. And yet, if you don't get out of bed, you won't have to do any work. And suddenly it's like 11, 12 o'clock, and I go, oh, just get out of bed and write. And then so I get out of bed, and I go into my... And I sit at my desk, I'm so bored. I haven't even done anything yet. I'm so distraught. I just check what's on Twitter. I just see what's on. So this is back when I was writing a book. I was still onto it. I'm just going to have a quick look at Blue Sky. I'm just going to... maybe if I read a bit, it'll get me in the mood for writing. I'll go and read a bit. I've just 2 pages. I'll just go and make a sandwich. I wasn't like this when I was... I was never like Mr. Flipping Commitment. I was never Mr. Logic. I was always one of those people who had to be chained to their desk. But I could read a book. Man, could I read a book. I could read during the school holidays. I sometimes would read more than a book in a day. I'd read a whole book. I had nothing else to do. I lived in the countryside, just outside Kidderminster. I couldn't drive. What else was I going to do? I could literally read a whole book from beginning to end in a day. That was normal. I read this morning that TED Talks are becoming shorter because the organisers believe that the average attention span has shrunk. And I read it and thought, yep, and then I read further. There are four groups of people in Britain. This is research by King's College a couple of years ago now, so I suspect things have got worse, not better. You've got positive multi-screeners accounting for 42% of those who were surveyed. So the biggest constituency, positive multi-screeners. These are people who see lots of benefits from the wealth of information available. I guess I fall into that category, but I could be a positive multi-screener and also recognise that my own attention span is toast. Then you've got the stressed tech addicts who were highly engaged users but felt that it was causing the end of deeper thinking. Yeah, I think I am a positive multi-screener. I don't feel the end of deeper thinking. You've got overloaded sceptics who were even more negative than the highly engaged users who describe themselves as stressed tech addicts. And then you've got the disengaged and untroubled who barely noticed any signs of an attention war. They, I guess, have just kind of opted out. I had dinner with a friend last week and he told me that he's stopped following the news. I said, mate, that's a bit tricky for me, you know. I kind of can't stop following the news. But he was extolling the virtues of not following the news anymore. I felt this is a little bit like telling footballers that you wish football would be abolished. That, you know, it's an odd thing to say to someone whose livelihood is the news, but he's a very old friend of mine, so we let it pass. But it did occur to me that the happiest people now are possibly the people who've managed to disengage themselves from social media. And social media gives you the not just the distractions, but the tools with which your brain is reprogrammed. As a white 53-year-old British man, a demographic that is obviously in the news today, I have been a little bit embarrassed by what Reels have done to me. Do you do this? So what do the Reels, is that the same as being on Instagram? Is that? Yeah, but also Facebook, it's going to be the same stuff, isn't it? It's going to, because it's the same company, right? Yeah. So I don't really do Instagram. I probably should. But my Facebook feed has started delivering me Reels, which are little short films. And my algorithm's brilliant. So I go through phases now. At the moment, I'm getting loads of amazing table tennis. I know that doesn't sound terribly exciting, but if you haven't seen a snake in its full glory, you haven't seen a snake being undertaken by a world-class table tennis player, then you haven't lived. But of course, what they do, and I know you know all this, but just bear with. What they do, of course, is calculate to the nth, to the nanosecond, what you watch. And then they just give you more of what you like. So I have, relatively late in life, found myself being able to concentrate for 90 minutes. Maybe at a time. So I just sort of say Mrs. O'Brien goes to bed and I might say, I'm just going to watch the news headlines. And then I click on something that I like the look of on my Facebook page. And the next thing you know, it's 11:15. Where is all that time gone? So my attention span when I'm doing that is fine. I played Indiana Jones and the Grand Circle yesterday for 5 hours straight. My attention span on that was fine. I finished it, but I've been going back over to complete all the missions that I didn't complete the first time around. But my actual attention span, and I'm saying since lockdown, when it comes to reading books, has been completely destroyed. So I completely recognise that the TED Talks people think that our attention spans have been shredded. Here's a really good example. This is Sir Jonathan Bate, the academic and writer, who has taught in British and American universities for 4 decades. He told the BBC last year that when he began teaching, students would be able to read 3 Charles Dickens novels in a week. That's what I was talking about. I couldn't do a Dickens in a day because they're quite big books, but I could do a normal size book in a day, and I could do a Dickens in two. I could easily have read three Charles Dickens novels in a week when I was 19, 20, 21 years old. Now, says Professor Bate, they're struggling to get through one novel in 3 weeks. So they've gone from three in a week to one in 3 weeks. He's talked about how the GCSE and A-level syllabus may have contributed to this because they do actually... Oh, they do. Why are all the kids reading Of Mice and Men? I mean, we read it when I was a lad, but we also read long books. Did Great Expectations for O-level. Did Of Mice and Men when I was like 13. Oh, I think both my daughters have done Of Mice and Men for their GCSEs. Why? Because it's short, I imagine. I'm not criticising anyone. I did the works of J.D. Salinger on Celebrity Mastermind because he only wrote four books. So I do appreciate the power of brevity, and it's a lot easier to become an expert at something if there's less material to choose from. But everyone seems to have done Of Mice and Men for GCSE, and it's a good book, but I suspect that one of the things that recommends it most is the fact that it's short. The Grapes of Wrath is a much better book. The Grapes of Wrath is an extraordinary book, or Wrath, if you prefer. So, I mean, I don't think you'll be able to tell me what happened, why this has happened, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Has this happened to you as well? And can we fix it? Do you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to talk to someone who's come back out the other side. I'd love to talk to a veteran of the attention span wars. I am not reading books on anything like the scale that I have done for all of my life, not just my adult life, since the age of about... Yeah, since the age of about six. I'm not going to lie to you. I was quite precocious as a reader. I remember mum being asked once by my teacher when I was in kindergarten whether I was lying about having finished a book. I'd read a book a night, just a little... I'm not boasting. I was rubbish at lots of things. I just used to read like it was going out of fashion. So I don't have a short attention span if I can spend 5 hours playing a video game or 90 minutes watching bloody Instagram reels, albeit that they contain some quality ping-pong content. So... I want to know what you think is happening to us, because I know that an awful lot, I can tell from my inbox, loads and loads of other people are agreeing with me or recognising what I'm describing. I quite like that. Crikey James writes, Graham, it didn't feel short when I did it in... I've lost the message now. Graham mentioned his English. Here it is. Crikey James, it didn't feel short when I was 16 in Mr Chambers' class. Apparently it's not a new thing to have done Of Mice and Men for GCSE. That shows how old I am. But what can we do about it? And do you know what else I'm going to ask you? Is it definitely a bad thing? 03456060973. So has it happened to you? What has happened to us? And are we sure it's a bad thing? Look, society changes. Human beings evolve. One of the biggest lessons I've learned talking to you every day is that my experiences as a 19-year-old, my experiences as a student, are not very relevant to conversations about scholarship today. What was true in 1992 is not true in 2025. It wasn't true in 2022. So, I presume it's in my dayitis, isn't it? We all suffer from my dayitis. Even those of us who lob rotten tomatoes at the worst sufferers on a daily basis. Everybody thinks that things were better when they were young. Some things were better when they were young. You sort of go, oh, they're doing it differently now. Different must mean worse. Look at how much of our political discourse hinges upon the lie that different means worse. Why are you so opposed to that? Oh, it's different. We didn't used to have to do that. It must be worse. Different doesn't usually mean worse. Different usually means better. You know, a Bakelite telephone. What was I thinking about the other day? In the days before smartphones, if you were going to be late for a date, if your train was delayed, and the object of your desires was waiting outside Waterstones in Birmingham for you, and you were going to be like 90 minutes late, and the chances of her being there when you got there, she was, but only because she knew that there was no earthly way I'd have stood her up, therefore there must be a reason why I wasn't coming, and that I would arrive, otherwise I would have let her know. But that's better. Now, who would sacrifice that in order to... But anyway... What's happened to yours? What's happened to us? And what can we do about it? But the most interesting question of all, perhaps, is, are we sure this is actually bad for us? So it's Eli Shafak, the brilliant novelist, who has described being told, Elif Shafak, has described being told by the TED Talks people to reduce her talk from 19 minutes to 13 minutes. And when she asked why, they said, well, the world's average attention span has shrunk. She was speaking at the Hay Festival. And that, she says, made me really sad. We are incapable of listening to a talk for more than a few minutes. To be fair, if she was at the Hay Festival, then the event she was talking at would have been an hour long. But it speaks to a broader truth, apparently. Research at King's College, as I said, found 49% of the public thought their own attention span was shorter than it used to be. Are we sure this is a bad thing? Are we sure this is a bad thing? Well, it's different. Is it definitely worse? I have a feeling that it is. I miss books. I miss reading books. I can read. What have I got on the go at the moment? I've got a Kate Atkinson on the go at the moment. And I'm sure when I started reading the Inspector Brodie books, I would inhale them. And now I'm just doing like a chapter a night. I didn't even bring it on the train with me because I'm too busy playing word games on the New York Times app. I don't know what's going on. But something's changing, and I don't know that it's necessarily for the worse. 0345 6060973. A couple of comedians. Mr. Bain says, I just zoned out, James. What did you say? And Bruce says, this is very bad news for prog rock bands. Rob asks, are you seeking instant gratification? Which reads like something you used to see in a phone box, Rob. But I do understand your point. Maybe I am. But 5 hours on a video game's not instant gratification. Anyway, I don't know. Do you? And also, those other questions.
This is LBC.
Here, Sandra, listen to this email. Felicitations and unalloyed joy to you. Could you help with a small inconvenience? I possess $32 million in an account belonging to my father, the Prince. We need an honest person to bank this amount for us. We're quits in, babe.
Some things are too good to be true. The Specsavers Too Good Deal isn't. Get 2 pairs of glasses for £70. Include single vision lenses to the same prescription. Conditions apply. Ask in store for details.
Quits in!
So, close your eyes. Picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wix to design our new kitchen.
At Wix, we have 70 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000 to over £20,000. And with our Spend and Save offer, there's up to 50% off kitchen units. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wix. Terms and minimum spend apply.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to head to BitVictor.
Why's that?
They've got more features than you can shake a stick at. They've got cash out. They've got in-play football, racing, tennis, all your favourite sports. They've got the best odds guaranteed on racing. And then there's the bet builder. And, of course, you've got the lucky dip. Blimey, dip! I've got to go, fella. It's Nacho Night at Casa Rednap. And holy moly, I forgot the guacamole. Ay, carumba.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet at BetVictor. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. Gambleaware.org.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Oh, honestly, come one, come all. The comedians are out in force today. Paul's been in touch. Have you considered shortening your monologues to account for these shorter attention spans? No, I'm fighting a battle against the reduction in attention spans. But also, why? I mean, this show's very popular, more popular than it's ever been. And my monologues are absolutely interminable. Endless. That last one brought us up to 21 minutes, breaking all the laws of radio. That's just me blathering on. And yet it's popular, more popular than anything else in the history of talk radio on commercial stations in this country. What? So, I mean, and look at that, the podcast market. Some of those podcasts, particularly in the manosphere, they're like 3 hours long. They're just sort of rambling. Do people stay engaged for 3 hours, or are they beneficiaries of shortening attention spans because you zone in and zone out? God forbid anyone does that during my scintillating monologues. But there's a lot going on here, and I'm not 100% sure that it's bad. Except the reading stuff. I completely agree, James, says Steve. I've bought books I want to read and then not touched them, including your last one. Crikey, lads. Stuff just got serious. The last book I read, he says, was Luke Harding's Shadow State. And that was years ago. What's going on? Di's in Sudbury. Di, what would you like to say?
Well, exactly, James. I am rereading books that I read some time ago, but I still can't get past the fifth chapter.
Gosh.
I mean, I know the book, and it's also, I get the Saturday newspaper,
yes.
But I cannot finish the whole article because I get bored.
Gosh, and you didn't previously?
No, I used to read the whole thing.
Is bored the right word? Distracted and bored aren't quite the same thing.
I think distracted. Mm. I think I'm saying, I've heard the main thing. I don't need to listen to the rest.
Yes, that makes sense.
Also, I go to bed with the podcast on and yes. I fall asleep.
No, that's what it's there for.
Exactly. So I never listen to the end. And I am an information person. I love news, but I cannot read the whole thing. Is it I'm overthinking? Am I overthinking?
I don't know, but I'm trying to work out why some things you can stare at for 90 minutes. And it's obviously what we're describing is buttons being pushed in our brains, chemicals yeah. or impulses that are being triggered and not triggered, and some are becoming more dormant while others increase. What else do you do differently? What do you spend time doing that you didn't do before?
I think there's a lot of visual, and I think I do look at my social media thing, and I would love to get rid of the phone, but you don't, because every 10 minutes you've got to look at what the news is.
Yeah.
I didn't have the news on because I don't listen to the news anymore because yeah. I don't like it. So suddenly I saw, Liverpool, it happened. And then I have to go onto social media to find out. And then I'm only finding out about it on your show because I cannot put the news on because I don't like what I'm hearing.
So there's a gap somewhere for short. I mean, TLDR is a very good website, but people who package things up in much more bite-size. What do we lose as a consequence of this, Di? It feels like we're going to lose something quite important.
Well, we're not hearing both sides of anything. We're only hearing one side. Obviously, you're saying that, and yeah. I'm saying that. But, you know, it's that we have no reality now. We really don't know where we are. We really don't know. I mean, I follow the news. My daughter doesn't. She
right.
doesn't follow any news anymore because she doesn't like it.
No, and you can't really blame her. Although, reminder that my kids need shoes, will you? Come on, everyone abandoning.
The younger generation must listen to news on both. Well, they can't because they're on social media and they're watching, TikTok or whatever.
Which are bite-sized, again, very punchy little films. I don't know. What are we losing? Critical thinking? I mean... Thinking's hard. Are we thinking less? It sounds like we're thinking less. And we recognise that we're guilty of this as well. An awful lot of people feeling seen for the first time. It's obviously not a conversation that you start in company. Thank you, Di. This is from Gita. Finally, someone is talking about this. I thought there was something wrong with me. Since lockdown, I can't concentrate to read anymore. I'm stuck with reels of cooking cats, flowers, animals. I cook all kinds now instead of reading, and I get my interesting news faster, Alan points out, and Alan is a regular correspondent of mine who is very, very immersed in the COVID consequences, the medical consequences of COVID. He says, I've been banging on about this for a while, but repeated COVID illnesses really do impact the brain and the attention span. And he cites an excellent thread by a Blue Sky user called Cat in the Hat that shows or collates a whole load of studies looking at the detrimental impact on the brain of repeated COVID illnesses. That's going to be part of it, but it feels more behavioural than medical to me. It feels as if my habits changed during lockdown and they haven't changed back. And none of this explains why I could play Indiana Jones for 5 hours straight yesterday. And yet the idea of reading a book for 5 hours straight is alien to me now in a way when it used to be commonplace. Seb is in Hackney. Seb, what would you like to say?
Yes. Hi, James. I actually finished a book and published a book recently. And that whole process was obviously, like you were saying, very concentrated. Yes. I had a lot of research to do. I also did a master's just before that. And this is sort of during the pandemic.
Yes.
And then the publisher said, you need to get onto Instagram. You need to get onto it. And I wasn't on Instagram. So then I went on it. And of course, lo and behold, I got sucked into
So you went on to promote your novel and you got mugged.
Yes, but my brain was mugged.
Yes.
And then it was, you know, related topics to the book, but then it ended up being, oh, look, there's a nice white dog. You know, I tried to train the algorithm to not give me things that I'm interested in on the side and try to focus it on the sort of public, on the idea of the book. But what I was going to say, there is a sort of journey to this, is that it's all out now and I don't have to go, well, I mean, I should continue going on social media, but I've just kind of given up. So now I'm back on the reading. And it has, and I'm sort of half forcing myself to discipline myself to do more reading. And it you can come back to it.
And you're doing the same hours that you were doing previously?
No.
No, you see?
No,
why?
No.
That's so bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're a professional writer as well. It should be absolutely second nature to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird one. And I think, like you were saying, when you have a goal, when you're having to do research and you get much more disciplined about it, for me it's easier. And I'm talking, but I'm now to kind of talking about fiction, you know, writing, reading for pleasure, right?
Yes, of course.
And I've kind of found that difficult to do, and I'm only kind of reading a non-fiction now. And it's sort of quite serious things.
Yeah, no, well, it engages you differently, doesn't it?
It's
not escapism for a start. You're not.
Yes.
Gosh, do you want to tell us about the last book, Seb?
I'm not going to do that because your producer said, "Please, this isn't to promote your book."
Did they?
So please,
that's a bit rude. Who spoke to Seb? No, I want to know now.
I don't want to get her into trouble.
I plug my own book, Merciless. That's probably what's upset her. Actually, is the merciless
the
plugging
reason.
Of my own. No, I want to know about your last novel now.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Oh, it's called The Book of Thunder and Lightning. And it's basically a Victorian Gothic ghost story, and then also takes place in London.
That sounds right up my street. Well, she was just trying to make sure that you had something interesting to say, and that, because it has happened on this program on occasion where someone has somehow managed to come on air when they've got nothing interesting to say except go to my website or read my book. But that was so gracious then, your initial refusal to accept a free plug. That was absolutely charming. So
maybe
I'm happy
it's a double
to
bluff.
The book. It could have been. You could have played me like an old guitar. The Book of Thunder and Lightning. By Sebastian what?
Seb Duncan.
By Seb Duncan. Thank you, Seb.
Thank you so much.
No, absolutely, my pleasure.
Great show.
Might not
I've been
make any difference
for a long time.
Well, yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? If I could shorten my monologues, maybe people would listen for longer. Amelia Cox is here now with your headlines.
Liverpool's Metro Mayor says the city is relieved no one was killed, but wants to know how yesterday was able to happen. Four children were among 27 people taken to hospital after a car drove into crowds at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade. A 28-year-old is due to appear in court charged with the attempted murder of a police officer in Buckinghamshire. PC Christopher Mills was seriously hurt in a car crash in Stoke Poges last Thursday. And far-right activist Tommy Robinson has been released from prison. His 18-month sentence for contempt of court was reduced by 4 months at the High Court last week. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of heavy rain in England and Wales, sunny spells and showers for northern Scotland, cloudy with showers elsewhere, windy especially in the south, a high of 17 degrees.
This is LBC.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
How likely is she to, you know, have another heart attack?
Can I still go to the gym after heart surgery?
Is my mum still my mum if she has a new heart?
When it comes to heart health, no question is too big or small. That's why British Heart Foundation have dedicated cardiac nurses you can speak to by phone, email or online chat.
Hi, this is Chloe from British Heart Foundation. How can I help?
Search BHF Cardiac Nurses.
What's your possible? The vision only you can make happen.
Whatever the size of your business, accelerate your growth with the Intuit QuickBooks AI-powered platform. Power your possible with the number one recommended cloud accounting software, Intuit QuickBooks. Based on a survey of 506 UK accounting professionals. Verify at quickbooks.co.uk/verify.
Body pain might not sound like this.
Oh.
Or this.
Oh.
But it might sound like this.
I'm fine.
Hiding your body pain behind a smile? Let us help. With up to 12 hours of uninterrupted muscle and joint pain relief. Voltarol, the joy of movement. Voltarol Joint and Back Pain Relief 2.3% gel contains diclofenac diethylammonium. Always read the label.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with WellKid. Carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The WellKid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It is 12:35. Quite a few of you want to know what word games I play on the train into work in the morning, so I shall tell you. It's the New York Times Games app. There's a small subscription involved, so I do the crossword every day, I do Spelling Bee every day, and I'm currently on a 124 streak on Wordle, which is my record. I was stuck on 99 for years because I'd just forget to do it once, and then I'd go, oh no, I've forgotten to do it. My friend Adrian, who used to work here, he posted recently about hitting 300. His greatest achievement of recent years was to get a 365 streak last year on Wordle, but someone pointed out it was a leap year. I thought it was funny. So I do Wordle, I do Spelling Bee, I do the crossword every day, and then if there's time, and I do the mini crossword as well, and if there's time, I do connections, and I did strands for a while, but I find strands really hard, just to get going. You can cheat, or you know, if you get it wrong three times, it'll give you the first R. Anyway, that is to answer your question, and three of you asked how I got on Wordle today, and the answer is that I got it in two, which is not a boast, because it's largely luck, but the early ones are, when you get it in one or two. Skill kicks in when it's tricky. But I got it in two today for the only for about the 30th time or something. Let me just check, because I know that you're fascinated by all this stuff. 53 times I've got it in two. 246 times I've got it in three. And by far the most common outcome is 379 times I've got it in four. 55 times I've got it in six. So now you know, 12:36 is the time. Michael is in Leon C. I wonder if you can remember why you rang in, or if you've been distracted by something else while you've been on hold, Michael.
I've immediately been distracted by the Wordle talk.
There it is.
I'm very much a player of those games in the morning.
Good stuff.
But no, I was talking with your producer previously, yeah. And I think you briefly mentioned it, you might have skipped over it, when you said with regards to engagement rather than attention span.
Yes.
When I was in secondary school, when I was younger, I would read goodness knows everything like you would not believe. We went through Hold when I broke my leg in year eight, and I read the entire book four times whilst when the class was reading it, they were still on like halfway through. But since then, I've got a smartphone now, I've got a computer, I'm very often playing computer games, I'm doomscrolling on Facebook. And I think it is to do with engagement. Obviously, the human brain likes as much of itself to be engaged as possible. And when you're on social media apps, when you're playing video games, when you're watching television, you've got that sight, sound, you know, flashy colours, noises, you're interacting. If it's a video game, you're actively playing it. When you're just reading a book, the brain has to do more work because it's your imagination that's creating all of those situations instead. And I think the last time that I was properly reading, I was up in my room and I kept pausing and looking around because it felt too quiet because there was that lack of engagement.
Yeah, but I think you're coming at it from the point of view of that not necessarily being a bad thing. Are you or not?
I'm not entirely sure.
No, I'm not either. I think it feels like it should be a bad thing, but then we may just be subscribing to the it's different and new, therefore it's worse school of thought.
I don't know if that's my logic of thought behind it. I think it could be a bad thing because it could lead to society always wanting to have all of the stimulation, you know, sight, sound and interactivity at all times.
It can't be a good thing. I mean, it's like we're becoming addicted to bells and whistles is what you're describing, albeit that you've dressed it up in fancier language than that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's one of the more easily recognisable things.
Mm.
I realised on the commute into London in the morning, I realised I was just doom scrolling on Facebook, and so you know I made the effort
to let down
the Kindle app, let's start reading again. And it is like even now, if I've got I'm trying to read a book at the moment that I'm not hugely invested
in. It's not got you in the way that it would have done once. What are we losing? What do you think we're losing, Michael?
Well, I think it is partially the kind of book as well. The last book that I was fully invested in, I think it was...
How They Broke Britain by James O'Brien.
No, it was it was Oathbringer by Brandon Sanderson.
Okay.
It's a proper, like, 1,300-page monster. Quite a lot of his books are very long.
And that got you. I mean, people are reading longer books, oddly, but I just guess it's taking them longer to do it. So the Twilight Saga, they were pretty hefty, and the what's the one that Jennifer Lawrence was in? They were pretty hefty books. The Hunger Games, the Harry Potter books were very long. Ian Rankin says novels are getting longer because if it's fewer than 300 pages, it's not taken seriously. But that doesn't mean that we're cutting down. Are we losing new? Thank you, Michael. I got loads of people wanting to talk about this, so I'm going to crack on. But I think about some of the stuff you just said. Catherine says, we're losing, what are we losing? Nuance. Nuance in everything we do and see and hear. Everything which distracts us is in black and white and infantilizing, and, you know, life isn't. Is this relevant to the first hour? People who are getting high on very carefully curated online algorithms feeding you endless terror and horror and race-based vileness and bitterness. You get addicted to it. The idea of reading a study, actually reading detail, doing a fact check. Fact checks take time and effort and energy. Even reading them takes a lot more energy than just swallowing and regurgitating the original lie. I don't know. Amanda says, we are losing the capacity for complexity, and that's dangerous. And Carl writes, absolutely boring radio, and that's also dangerous. Sam's in Forest Hill. Sam, what would you like to say?
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Yeah, it's really interesting what you're talking about. I was completely...
Carl would disagree, mate. He says absolutely boring radio, but there you go. It takes all sorts.
Yeah, he's wrong. He's so wrong.
Carl.
Come on, Carl, get a grip. It is addictive. These apps are designed by neuroscientists to hone in on the reward part of the brain. It's the same part of the brain that gambling. That creates gambling addiction. Yeah. And I don't think it's good long term for creative people, for a start. It's dissipating the arts and the creatives, and it's just making it... Everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame. And it's kind of... I don't think it's good for society. And I'm weaning myself off it right now.
Are you?
And
how are you going on?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention that.
Yeah, of course you are. It's not a great phone line. It's not a great phone line. It's got a weird click in it, so I won't detain you unduly. But has it affected your reading? Are you reading a lot less than you... Right, that's a killer.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, the last novel I read in its entirety, only because a friend of mine wrote it.
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago, and that's why I was able to sort of focus on it. Otherwise, you kind of think, it's like your last call. He was saying, well... You drift off. It's like, well, why? You want other stimuli.
Yeah, you're used to having a button pressed every 19 seconds, as opposed to every 19 minutes. Or, like, yeah. Well, and What's the end game? The end game is never being on social media and being back into books, or
but back into books and reading and going to the cinema more rather than sit and watch yourself at home.
Yeah, because you get distracted at home. You check your phone or you check your computer, and you have a completely different experience at the cinema. I bought a massive telly last year and got it set up in a way now that we can actually insist no one's allowed to have their phone in that room. And you can watch it almost like a cinema experience. And it's completely different. I showed my youngest If the other night, which is my favourite film of all time. And it was so powerful to watch it properly with neither of us checking our phones or pausing. But you're right, films are a really good example, actually, of how we've allowed our distraction. That's why you talk about multi-screen positivity, the idea that you can do two or three things at the same time, which is true, but you're not doing any of them as well as you would have done if you were only doing one thing. Sam, thank you. Douglas Adams, a genius, and one of those writers with whom, if you don't find him a genius, we probably wouldn't get on. He's on that level of genius. But he, as with almost everything in this kind of world, he nailed it. Someone sent me a little reminder of his diktats on this issue, and they are absolutely genius. Thank you to Bill for sending me this, also known as Pinball Phil. I've come up with a set of rules that describe our reactions to technologies. This is what I was saying about in my day-itis. Anything that is in the world when you're born is normal and ordinary and is just a natural part of the way the world works. Right? There's three rules. That's rule one. Rule two, anything that's invented between when you're 15 and 35 is new and exciting and revolutionary, and you can probably get a career in it. So if it arrives between your ages of 15 and 35, fantastic. Anything invented after you're 35 is against the natural order of things. This is genius, isn't it? So if it's there when you're born, that's natural. That's how the world works. That's absolutely how things are meant to be. If it arrives in the world when you're aged between 15 and 35, it's new and exciting and revolutionary. And if you get your skates on, you can probably get a career in it. But if it arrives in the world after you're 35, it's against the natural order of things. And almost certainly the subject of a moral panic arriving at platform 2 any minute now.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
Players, politicians and people are reeling from last night's hideous events in Liverpool. What do we learn, and is it anything we can do something about?
Sheila Fogarty on LBC.
So, close your eyes, picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wickes to design our new kitchen.
At Wickes, we have 70 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000 to over £20,000. And with our spend and save offer, there's up to 50% off kitchen units. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Terms and minimum spend apply.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. My Claim Group is working hard to help. So, even if you've forgotten your details, make sure you check. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
The Red Cross is here to deliver essentials to people who have lost everything in Ukraine.
We are here to support families enduring the food crisis in Somalia.
We're here to shelter earthquake survivors in Turkey and Syria.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK
and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
Discover outlet shopping at the O2 this spring. Save up to 70% off RRP on over 60 designer brands, including Nike, Adidas, Levi's, Kate Spade, The Cosmetics Company Store, Le Creuset, and more. And with over 30 bars and restaurants, a cinema, bowling, climbing, interactive football, mini golf, paddle tennis, and indoor skydiving, why not stay for the day? Visit us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 and plan your trip today.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC with James O'Brien.
10:49 is the time. There's something going on, isn't there? Whether it's good or bad or neither, it remains under question. But it's very hard to believe that a shrinking attention span is not a bad thing, except for when you throw things into the mix, like the fact that you can now do three things at once. I don't know if you've watched, I don't know how old you are for a start, but I don't know if you've watched young people multi-screening. The idea they can watch something on their laptop while also checking their socials and doing, and is that a good thing or a bad thing? It may not be either. It may just be how things are now. But the weirdness of the diminishing attention span, particularly when it comes to books, is surprisingly commonplace this morning. I thought it was just me. 10 to 1 is the time. James is in Scarborough. James, what made you pick up the phone?
Good afternoon, James. Yeah, there definitely has been a reduction in attention, and it's come from an absolute kind of melting pot culturally of where we are with technology. So we've got dopamine. So an animal will have some food, and there might be a toy next to it, but the animal will go to the food first. Humans have this dopamine, which is why we're creative, why we search pleasure. And we could ignore the food to go and learn something or discover something or something that we derive pleasure from. The technology is tapping into that because obviously social media generates more revenue by the more time you're on it. Yes. So the more that it taps into the dopamine, then the more it's kind of generating that. So it's learned to really tap into those elements, like another caller said, gambling addiction's the same. And it's why we love video games, because that's tapping into...
There's more happening. So if... Because I wouldn't know, without the science, you wouldn't know why one necessarily destroys the other, because I might be enjoying my social media dopamine hits, but why would I enjoy reading a book less? And the answer is because you're getting fewer dopamine hits.
You're having to work... The brain's having to work a lot harder to get the dopamine. So you still get... If you like reading, you still get dopamine from that book. But then if your phone's next to you, it's, you know, screaming out of an instant injection of dopamine. So you will kind of reach for that rather than the book.
You will. And even when you're into your book.
Definitely.
I think I just got the time wrong. I just got the time wrong. That's probably because you distracted me, James. It was 12:49 2 minutes ago, not 10:49. I hope nobody's had a panic attack as a consequence of that. Can you reverse it, do you think? Is there anything we can do? I mean, is it necessarily a bad thing, is the first question I want you to answer.
There is some aspects of it being bad, particularly the next generation, like less people be watching movies. They're more into this instant 30-second videos. And it does tap into what you were saying earlier about the kind of conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories feed into that dopamine. And the algorithms have noticed that because of that, they will give you... You search, is the Earth round? It'll start giving you flat Earth conspiracies, because it feeds into that buzz if you've got this special information. So that does give you more dopamine.
But my table tennis clips obviously give me quite a lot of dopamine at the moment, and they're being... So you can go down rabbit holes that are not unhealthy.
Absolutely, yeah. It's tapping into that individual thing, but that's offered because it does give people a hit. So it is offered first, which is why we're seeing a rise in that type of ideology.
Of course it is, yeah. Of course it is. I don't want to sound patronising, but you sound, unlike me, you sound like you know what you're talking about on this subject, James. Is it you haven't just arrived on this radio show and come up with these theories?
Yeah, I do research and lecture in ADHD, and I've got ADHD myself, so obviously this is a major factor, even more for us than other people without the condition.
Because of the relationship between dopamine and the brain.
Yeah, it's the main factor in what ADHD is constantly lacking and searching. So everything that kind of drives that, we're seeing kind of the behaviours that we've struggled with, yes, happen to neurotypical people in the population a lot more as well.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I don't know if you heard my introduction where I posited the possibility that I might be on that spectrum somewhere, but in fact I might actually be one of the neurotypical people who's now experiencing what you always live with.
Well, you're really good at what you're doing. That's because you've got ADHD, I'm pretty certain.
Do you think so? Seriously?
I think so. I've been listening to you for years and reading your books, and I think if you looked at the diagnostic criteria, there'd be enough to warrant getting one.
You are not the first person to suggest that, James, as it goes. And that's why this job suits me so well, because you can't get distracted. You know, apart from having Eleanor and Keith staring at me like goldfish through the glass every morning, I can't. I imagine what would happen if I got distracted. Someone could do a libel. We could have some swears, all sorts of mad things. I could lose my own thread, God forbid. I could get the time wrong. Imagine if that would ever happen on this programme. But it is, I've always suggested, thank you, James, the job is a bit like flying an aeroplane or something like that. I can concentrate for large periods of time on an incredible level because I absolutely have to. But if I didn't have to, I wouldn't. It's weird. Thank you, mate. Ali's in Winchester. Ali, what would you like to say?
Oh, hi.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, it was just to sort of chip in, really.
That's the spirit.
I was really distracted. I noticed, so I've got a young son, and I noticed
that. When did you notice that, Ali? Did it come as a major surprise to you?
No, he pretty much makes his presence still known.
Carry on.
I noticed that I was getting very distracted by my smartphone when I was with him. And although I would have it round the corner so that he would never see me on it, even then when I left it round the corner, I'd go back to him and I'd be distracted because you sort of look and you've got about 30 plus notifications sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So my subconscious is always kind of thinking about those.
You're always elsewhere.
And I just didn't want that anymore. So I ended up buying a dumb phone, which is what I use when I'm with him.
Okay.
So I'm on my dumb phone normally sort of Friday to Monday, and then I use my smartphone during my working week. And what I noticed was I was so much happier when I was on the dumb phone. But my concentration that was so much better, and I was so much more present. And I was reading more. I was taking in news and having critical thoughts more. My conversation skills were better. My brain was more engaged. Everything was better. And I think it's because your subconscious thinks about your smartphone content even when you're not actively using it.
And if your subconscious knows that it's not there, then your subconscious stops harassing you. Any downsides?
So, probably the only thing is you have to be a bit more organized in terms of if you need Ringo or Google Maps or anything like that.
Yeah.
You have to be a bit more organized. So I take my smartphone switched off with me and it hasn't got my SIM card in.
Sure. Wow, you've really gone to town then, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've gone like quite hardcore.
Oh, but it's just honestly now I've done it, I wouldn't go back, and I'm leaning more and more towards using my smartphone like an, you know, the old school iPods where they looked a bit like an iPhone but you could only use them when you're connected to Wi-Fi.
Yes, of course.
I'm using it more and more like that now.
Okay.
So that I'm not, you know, I'm much more...
And this is the new you. There's no reason why you'd go back to the old ways, really.
Oh, my goodness. Once I think you've taken a step back, it's so telling. And what's quite interesting, I think, when you're looking particularly, say, at parents with children, is it's quite sad when you can see children trying to get their parents' attention and they're glued to a phone.
I caught myself reading it. I've told you this before, but you may not have been listening. I caught myself checking my phone over my daughter's head when I was reading her a bedtime story once.
Oh,
the shame I felt, Ali. The shame. And that was the point.
It's so hard because it's so addictive.
That was precisely the point at which I left it downstairs at bedtime from that moment onwards, and I missed absolutely nothing. I love that. That's so cool. And dumb, of course. I've not heard that before, but it's the opposite of smart.
It's a very basic brick phone, but... Honestly, I find, because even with the communication, when you're texting someone, you have to press the button so many times to get the letter.
Yes.
So your communications are much shorter.
So it makes you
point.
A lot more thoughtful then. Has your boy noticed?
Do you know what? It's quite funny, because he just does, he used to be fascinated if my smartphone was near.
Of course.
And then with the sort of the brick phone, he sort of says bye in it and then just chucks it on the floor and isn't engaged with it at all anymore.
So he's not sort of fantasizing about... what it will be like when he has one day, because he must be responding to how fascinated you appear to be by
it. Yeah.
And he's not getting that either, so you're not giving him a learned behaviour.
Well,
I don't know that I could because of my job, but I should probably. It's worth a try, maybe. A dumb phone. 12:50, thank you, Ali. What a lovely hour that was. So I hope everyone stayed focused. If you missed any of it, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the brand new LBC app. How long are we calling it brand new? Just out of interest? It's been a month, lads. Yeah, and the new LBC.
That's brand new.
Is that still brand new? What's the definition?
One for
Mystery Hour. What's the definition of brand new?
It's still brand new. It's a new brand, and we're still inviting people to get used to
right,
it.
Right, definitely should download. There's more people downloading that than any other news app in the country at the moment. And if you have a look at it, you'll be able to see why. You can stay up to date with all the latest news and opinion. You can put your news categories in the order that you want. You can pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the all-new official LBC app for free from your App Store now. Coming up at 4 on LBC, Ben Kentish is in for Tom Swarbrick, but now it's the one and only Sheila Fogarty.
Here she is. Thank you.
Here she is.
Here she is. Thanks, James. At 3, Alice Giddings joins me. She's a reporter and a runner, and she'll discuss with me her report into what happens to women when they run in public. You can probably imagine, but did you know that 10% of them report being spat at while they're out running? At 2, Nigel Farage has been talking about, amongst other things, tax breaks for married couples. 50%, I learned today, of kids are being raised in one-parent households. Is there a connection here? And should the tax system ever reward the kind of relationship you choose to be in? I'm going to start, though, with events in Liverpool last night. Truly awful events. Thankfully, nobody killed. May they all get well. But what do we learn from it? And is it anything we can do something about?
On your radio, on the LBC.